I hope we all had a good rest last night and be awake this morning for the meeting. Amen. Yes, Father, we commit this meeting into your gracious hands.
Amen.
Pray that you will speak to us.
Amen.
Meet the need of every brother and every sister this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, we pray that you would bless all the saints and all the churches here in the Philippines.
Amen.
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 Well, we mentioned yesterday in the first meeting concerning the tetrad. I didn't know that many of you in Manila or here and have not heard concerning the tetrad. Right. How many have not heard about a tetrad before? Well, maybe some of you didn't hear, right? You don't have to raise your hands. A tetrad is something very strange happened in the heavenly bodies. The sun, the moon, and the stars. And a tetrad is about they call it blood moon. Because of the special full lunar eclipse that took place. And it's a very special lunar eclipse because it happened twice a year consecutively in 2 years. That means 2 years consecutively you have altogether 4 lunar eclipses. And because of the nature of the eclipse, then it looks like red blood, the moon. So they call it the blood moon. And in the past over 500 years, there are only 4 times that occurred. And you have to believe that when God created or renovated the sun, the moon, and the stars, he said that they are up there for signs. That is why in the early days when they didn't have a compass, they just have to look up the stars and they can see the directions that they are going. Right? And even during the time of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, can everybody hear? Can you make it a little bit stronger, please? Yeah, because my voice is bad this time. I'm sorry. Somewhat a little cold. Yeah, hello. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I think it's okay. Yeah? All right. No echo? Is it all right? Okay. The time when the Lord was born on this earth 2,000 years ago, it's very clearly written, the wise men from the east, they saw his star. It's called the Star of Bethlehem. And it is by that star that the wise men from the east, certainly, very likely from Persia in that area, they saw his stars, and that told them and shows them the King of the Jews was born. And so they followed the stars all the way to Jerusalem. Right? And the star guided them to Bethlehem, to where the Son of God, Jesus, was born in Bethlehem. So at that time, even the star was a sign, a wonderful sign. Right? And you have to realize also when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, then all of a sudden, the whole sky was darkened. It was really definitely a wonderful sign that happened there. And everyone who was there suddenly realized, indeed, this man was the Son of God. So the signs in heaven really it's very important for us to see. And you all know that the constellation of the stars in the heavens have their names given. And these are not given by the astrologers, no. This was already, it happened long before. Right? And definitely even in the book of Isaiah, I believe that he even named all the stars. Can you imagine? He named all the stars. And there was a constellation called Virgo, for example. Virgin. Why would somebody name the constellation of a star a virgin? Right? And a lion. You have Leo, a lion. Hey, because the stars tells the wonderful stories in the heavens. Once I watch a very wonderful report in the YouTube concerning a man who before he got saved, he was very interested in the stars, in astronomy. And for a long time, he was studying the stars and learning concerning all these astronomical pictures in the skies. And one day he got saved. I forgot his name. My hard disk is not working this morning. The memory is not working this morning. Anyway, after he got saved, he said the Lord opened his eyes to see the meaning of all these wonderful stars, the constellation of the stars. And he began to preach the gospel by telling the stories. Remember, in Psalm 19, it says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and they speak without words. And this man began to preach the gospel just by the constellation of the stars. I was really amazed how that through his knowledge of the constellation of the stars, God was already telling the whole gospel through the constellation of the stars. Amazing. This is really wonderful, because in all of God's creation, you have to realize, it tells the glory of God. It tells the glory of God. Even the creation in this world, Paul says, it shows forth God's divine power and glory. That is why the Lord could use everything that he created as an example of himself. He's the Lamb of God, for example. Right? He's the rock. He is the true vine. So many things. He's the bright morning star. And he is the rising of the sun. His coming, right, is the rising of the sun, and his face shines in the brightness, as the brightness of the sun. So you can see the Lord could use everything to talk about himself, right? Because everything is an expression of his glory. Remember the four living creatures. The face of an ox. And the ox, if you see the ox here in Manila, right? In Tagaytay, you can really realize that it represents Christ becoming our slave, our servant to serve us. And he's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, because the lion is the king of all the animals. lions there. So he is called Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And of course, he is also the eagle. The eagle is the king of all the fowls flying in the sky. Right? Eagle represent our Christ being the Son of God, as God himself. So every creation of God is a wonderful picture of this living triune God. And of course, man is created in the image of God. So it depends now, what kind of a man are you? Are you a fallen man? Or are you a reborn man? Do you belong to the old man? Or do you belong now to the new man, to express the wonderful image of God? Right? So all of God's creation is an expression of God. Even we should be, right? God manifested in the flesh. This is the mystery of godliness. Right? So although all of God's creation is really a manifestation of God, right? But man especially is created to express the full glory of God. So this we have to realize today, that even the skies tells us a story. Unfortunately, I'm not an astrophysicist, I'm not an astronomer, right? But we don't have to. We have this book. Amen. Right? We don't have to be an astronomer. No? Remember, there is a difference between astronomer and astrology. Satan tries to turn all these signs into astrology, a superstitious belief. No, we rejected all that. But we love God's creation that tells the glory of God. Amen. Don't believe in astrology. No, astrology is devilish. But we believe that all the things created are by God are for the expression of God's glory, right? For example, let's read Psalm 19. I think many of us know Psalm 19. After I saw that video concerning that brother who preached the gospel through this heavenly constellation of the stars, I really give glory to God. Right. Psalm 19, it says the heavens. If you look at the heavens, what do you see? Only some clouds? No, of course the heavens definitely refers to the sun, the moon, and all these wonderful stars and planets. The heavens declare the glory of God. That means they are telling us something. So when you look at the heavens, what do you see? Right? You see how great our God is and how wonderful God is. Unlimited. I don't think the heaven is just where the clouds are. No, there's much, much higher. Right? And the firmament. The firmament. It says what? Shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. And night unto night reveals knowledge. And yet there is no speech, no language. Their voice is not heard. That means they speak without words. You have to cross out the word where. Their voice is not heard. The word where should not be there. That means they tell you a story without words. You don't hear the voice. But you need the eyes to see. And the Lord must enlighten us to really see this wonderful glory, right? The eternal wonderful story. So, let me tell you of another secret before I go into the tetrad. Last month, in September, something very wonderful happened. And that happens only once every 7,000 years. On September 23rd of last year, there was a wonderful last month, September 23rd of this year, sorry. There was a wonderful sign, the sign that fully, absolutely correspond to the heavenly vision in Revelation chapter 12 concerning this wonderful woman, right? If you turn to Revelation chapter 12, let's take a look again. Now a great sign appeared where? In heaven, you see. Sign that appeared in heaven. Behold, it says here, right? Appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with a sun, with a moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor, in pain, to give birth. Now this wonderful sign in Revelation chapter 1 and 2, chapter 12, I mean verses 1 and 2, really, there appeared a great sign, the constellation of Virgo in the sky. And right above is the Leo, at that time with 12 stars. I'm not going to draw through 12 stars. Normally Leo has only 9 stars. But at this particular date, 3 planets, one of them is Mercury, the other one is Venus, and the third one, Mars. Okay, thank you. These 3 stars move toward Leo with 9 stars and join them together, forming a garland of 12 stars. Can you imagine? This is really an amazing thing. And at the same time as this time, the sun, moves gradually in September 23rd, right here in the shoulder of the woman. So she was close with the sun. And at the same time, the moon moved right here below the foot of this woman. And then there is a womb here of this woman, the womb. And Jupiter signifying, hey, the son of God, actually. God, Jupiter here. Let's make that stars here, Jupiter. Move in January into the womb of this woman. Of course, it's a woman, okay? Because nowadays people are crazy. They cannot distinguish anymore between man and woman. And then Jupiter here, for 9 months, from January to September, 9 months, moved back and forth in the womb of this Virgo, of this virgin. Yeah, it's called Virgo, right? And then in September 23rd, Jupiter came out of the womb. And this sign happened once every 7,000 years. You have to believe that this sign is telling you something.
Right.
Guess what it's telling you? What would this sign be telling us? Yeah. This happened in September 23. Yeah. And it fully corresponds to the sign in Revelation chapter 12. So, what do you think the Lord is telling you in this sign? You have to believe and realize that Revelation chapter 12 is talking about just the time before the last 3.5 years, the great day of God's wrath, because the man-child was raptured and the woman fled to the wilderness for 1,260 days, which is exactly 3.5 years. So that means this sign should take place just shortly before the beginning of the great day of God's wrath. Right? And the Lord is already giving us this sign right now. Why do you think the Lord is giving us this sign right now? And especially, you know, from Adam to now, it is 6,000 years, right?
Yes.
And now is the 7,000 years is about to begin and take place. And the 7,000 years we know definitely signifies the millennial kingdom. Right? So from Adam until now is 6,000 years. So this will happen every the 7,000 years. So now this sign happened. I don't know if you heard about this in the Philippines, right? But nevertheless, even if you heard about it, I want to emphasize it. Today, you can really see this wonderful sign happening. What does it tell you, Brian? After knowing, hearing everything right now, what does it tell you? It tells you the Lord is coming soon. It tells you the last 3.5 years is about to take place. It tells you the end of this age is drawing near. Right? You agree? Benson, does it make sense? You sure it makes sense? Let me ask my sister here. Is it clear? Does it make sense? I believe even the young people are clear, right? That this is telling us something. This is telling us something. And it all coincides to the tetrad that I'm telling you about. Now I'm going to erase this, okay? You clear? Right? You don't need to take a photo of that. Okay. I'm not a very good artist, but I don't have to. You get a picture, right? You get a picture, and this is important for us to see. Don't think we are superstitious, no. Especially this sign was recorded in Revelation chapter 12, warning us that the end is arriving very soon. I cannot tell you when it's going to happen, but definitely very soon. Now, you now understand what a tetrad means, right? And a tetrad, I would say here, let me just write this word, tetrad, right? D, right? It's a D, tetrad. The word tetrad, in Greek, it means four, okay? It means four. Why is it four? Because the tetrad happened, there are, the first point you should see is four consecutive lunar eclipse, right? Four lunar eclipse. And in this four lunar eclipse, it happens in 2 years consecutively, right? So first year and then the second year consecutively in 2 years. First year and 2 years. And the wonderful thing is that this four lunar eclipse takes place exactly in the first feast is Passover feast, and the second lunar eclipse of that same year happened exactly in the last feast, the Feast of the Tabernacle. Right? Feast of the Tabernacle. The first and the last feast. So it happens in the Easter time, somewhere between March and April, and it happens somewhere in September, October. Right? In the seventh month of the Jewish calendar. And the second year, this lunar eclipse happened exactly in the Passover feast, right? I'm just going to write the Passover and the Feast of the Tabernacle. Do you think it's a coincidence? It corresponds exactly to the feasts appointed by God to the people of Israel to keep the feasts. There are seven feasts altogether. Can this be a coincidence? This is called a tetrad. Four lunar eclipses consecutively in 2 years. And in each year, this first two happen exactly in the Passover feast and the Feast of the Tabernacle, exact date. Okay? And the second year, it also again happened, the first happened exactly in the day of the Passover feast and exactly in the second one in the Feast of the Tabernacle. You tell me, Calvin, can this be manipulated by the Jews? Now who can manipulate that? You tell me. Only the living God, the Creator. The one who created the heavens and the earth. Okay, Anna, you understand now what a tetrad is? Right? And in the past 500 years, or 500 plus years, there are only four tetrads that happened. Four tetrads. The first tetrad happened when? It happens in 1492 to 93 in this year. And around this time, again, it has something to do with the Jewish people. The Jews, all the Jews, were kicked out of Spain. They were asked to leave Spain. It's really amazing. Right. History tells us really in 1492, All the Jewish people were cast out of Spain, asked to leave Spain. And as a result of that, Columbus, you know what Columbus, who Columbus is? Actually, some reported Columbus was probably an Italian Jew. Okay? And was asked to go and perhaps to find a place for these Jews cast out. And by the hand of God, almost in the same year, 1492, a few months later, what did Columbus discover? When I was young, right, this history is already there. Columbus discovered the new world, so to speak. And this new world is America. And what is so important about America, you tell me? It is for God to raise up the United States of America. The most important thing in America, Columbus discovered a new world, is, right, a few centuries later, about three centuries later, what happened? America was raised up, like I said yesterday, 1776, right? So here, in this year, the new world was discovered. This new world is called America, right? It's called America. And we know how important the United States today is for the existence of Israel. Okay? It's very important. This is the first tetrad. The first tetrad. And then the second tetrad that happened is when? It is in 1948 or 1949. John, what is the date now, the second tetrad?
1949, 1950.
Okay, I'm sorry. 1949 to 1950. You're right. And in this time, what happened? Officially 1948, and certainly confirmed in 1949, in this year, around this time, this tetrad happened. It was the rebirth, right? Rebirth of Israel as a nation, of the nation of Israel. Of Israel, right? Praise the Lord. Something happened. Very important and very significant. And that was the second tetrad. Within the last 500 some years. Okay. And then the third tetrad happened in 1967. 67 to 68. What happened in this time? We'll write Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Jerusalem was restored under the control of Israel. And that also marks the end of the times of the nations. So ever since that time, you don't see any more famous politicians, no more. You only see some crazy ones, really, some crazy ones. So, you have three tetrads up to 1967 and 68. Now, what is the fourth one? What is the fourth one? 20, 14 to 2015. What is so important about this date, this tetrad? What is important? All of a sudden, someone out of the blue decided he is going to run for president of the United States. Someone nobody ever thought could be a president. And even when he was running the campaign, everybody thought he is crazy. He's not going to win. And then after he won, everybody was so much against him and trying to get rid of him, and doing their best even until this very day. So, I will just write here, what?
Trump.
You would say, what does Trump have to do with Israel? You already know, right? From yesterday. Now, why is Trump so important? Because he is 100% for Israel, and he made the Middle East peace his priority. And he was going to accomplish this peace treaty. At least that was his dream, and that was his priority. That is something he wanted to achieve, which no other president has put this as a priority in their presidency. They always push it aside because it's a very sensitive issue. Nobody wants to do this difficult task. Right? Because the whole world is against Israel. Only the U.S. But the last president of the U.S. was very much against Israel and betraying Israel because he was a Muslim. But now you have a president that's going to make America great again. For what purpose? Just to make America great? No. At least the last time to make this country great again, to accomplish the peace treaty in the Middle East. At least this was his purpose that is in his heart, and he genuinely desired to do it. Whether he will accomplish it or not, I'm not a prophet, okay? I'm not going to prophesy that he is. Never say that, oh, John so says it is going to happen. No. It's just possible that it might happen. And I don't want you to take a chance thinking, oh, I hope it's not going to happen. No, it might happen. So why take a chance? You have to be prepared anyway, whether it's going to happen or not. But if it is going to happen, you better take it seriously and prepare yourself for the Lord's coming. Be wise. You have nothing to lose, huh? Or are you afraid? You have to prepare anyway, whether this happened or not. But suppose it really is going to happen, then more so you have to prepare yourself.
Amen.
Forget about everything else. Right? I don't mean you should give up your job. No. But your job should not be important for you anymore like before. No. I don't mean now you should give up your profession, give up your business. Don't do your business anymore. Forget about your jam, okay? I heard it tastes good. I like it. But hey, let's forget about it. I can go without jam, but hey, I cannot miss that kingdom, I tell you. I don't want to miss it.
Exactly.
How about you, Brian? Karina? Amen. Yeah, you have to bear with me that I talk about this again and again because it is in my heart. And if I don't tell you and it happens, the Lord will really cut off my head. Yep. How come I had a strong feeling about it and I don't tell the saints? Right. So, you all need to see there are many signs, there are too many signs that happen in our time today. And then plus that sign in Revelation chapter 12. Right? Plus, we know from the image and from the prophecy of Daniel, democracy is going down the drain today. And it's not reversible anymore. Once you let, you open that Pandora box, you know what Pandora box means, right? You all know the story of the Pandora box, right? Don't you know? Everybody knows, right? Once you let it out, you cannot bring it back in again. Once this rebellious spirit comes out, you want to put it back again, pull it back again? No, you can perhaps suppress it through your trump card. Right? You have a strong card in your hand. You can suppress it, but you cannot get rid of it. And this corresponds to the end of this age of lawlessness. Because Paul did say in Thessalonians and to the Thessalonians at the end of this age, the lawlessness will take the upper hand. It's lawless. Today is lawless. Everybody can do whatever they want. Yeah. You can shoot people, you know, right? You can. For no good reason at all. You read what's happening in Las Vegas, right? But let me tell you that what happened there is not just some crazy guy shooting people. It was plotted. It was plotted to create trouble and lawlessness and demonstration and chaos. Well, what is this happening in USA today? Democracy was born, was given birth, came into existence, especially through US, through America. And now it's going down the drain at the very place where it came from. It started. It started there and it's going to end there. And when it ends there, what is the next age? A short age, as long as the toes, or as short as the toes, 3.5 years is going to happen. The last 7 years, and especially the last 3.5 years of the 10 nations there. The 10 horns of the 10 nations. So, you can really realize today we are in a very exciting age. Exciting because our Lord is coming back. And the most terrible time if you don't make it. So, is it exciting for you, or is it terrible for you, or is it scary for you? Are you excited or are you scared? Excited, hallelujah. That's good. Because why the Lord gives you this warning? Because He wants you to repent, turn, forget about all the troubles. Nothing is important anymore at this age. Right? What would you do if you found out you only have 6 years to live? Huh?
What would you do?
Prepare by cruising every year. Twice a year, see the world. Discover the new world that you have not seen, like Columbus. What would you do? You like to cruise around like Columbus? Go back to the 1492 or 16th century there? Is that what you plan to do? Now you know why I didn't go to any cruise. Not because I'm against cruise, but I have no time for that. Right. We need to wake up. Wake up. And be prepared. Be prepared. If you don't, well, it's your choice. I cannot help you. But this is why it's very necessary for us to really know our condition today, the true condition. No time to really waste. We should take hold of every opportunity. That's why every week you need to learn and prepare the offerings to enjoy the feast of the Lord. That song should be your favorite song. To keep the feast of the Lord here together. Right. You have to learn to sing that in your heart. And to worship God, we should come prepared. And may the Spirit teach us daily the offerings to prepare. All of these is not written in vain. Yeah. Right. I hope that the Lord will not just give you the knowledge of all these things. If it's just knowledge, forget about it. You can forget about it. But if it is true, if it's a warning from the Lord, you better wake up and be prepared. And take every opportunity. Don't say, I don't like it. Don't say, I'm tired. Don't say, I'm too old. Don't say, I can't speak English. And don't say, I have no time. And don't say, you have a lot of excuses. What excuse do you have? No more excuse. No excuse. Really. Right? And it should have been our daily life anyway. It should have been our normal daily life. But now it becomes something that is urgent. Because the time is very short. I know a lot of people don't like to do that because they're not used to it. They're used to traditional Christianity. They're used to coming to the meeting, everybody just sit down there and hymn number this, one day I'm going to confiscate all the song books. Then what are you going to do if you don't have any more song books? Hymn number, I don't know. And what tune? I don't know. So how are you going to worship now? Right. I'm not against singing songs. But if that becomes your tradition, it's dangerous. Instead of helping you, it will ruin you. Because now this becomes your crutch. I like to see people worshiping without a songbook in. What are you going to do? For 1 hour they sing until they are like me right now. So, all of these, you can really see, is very important. The tetrad, right? Even that wonderful sign, September 23rd. A lot of people say, oh, in that day the Lord is coming. Some Christians, a lot of Christians were saying that, no, the Lord is not coming in that day, because there are many other verses that says no. Many other things that need to be done before that. But this is a sign showing us, beware, it's coming soon. Don't take it for granted. Okay? Now, what time is it? What time is our break? 10:15. Okay, we still have half an hour. Let's talk about judgment. Now we're going to talk about judgment. Something scary. Something nobody likes to hear. Nobody likes to listen. Yeah, but I'm not forcing anybody to listen. Okay. I'm sorry, you didn't go through yet the first part of Isaiah, right? Did you? You're done, right? You're done. You're just reviewing. Okay. Well, you can realize that, unfortunately, Israel at that time, both Judah and Israel in the northern country, their condition was terrible, fallen. Don't think our condition is any better. No. Paul, and again I want to remind you, warned the Corinth that whatever is described and reported in the scriptures is for our warning, is a warning for us. That we will not be the same as they. That means there's a danger, definitely a danger, because of the flesh. Our flesh is not in any way different from their flesh. So if it happened to them, and they knew the Lord, and they saw so many works of the Lord during their time, and yet they end up worshiping idols, ended up in the flesh, ended up doing all kinds of crazy things that offended God, don't think it will not happen to God's people today in the new covenant. And we know for sure it happened. It happened. Look at so many divisions today. Right? It's not a criticism, but it is a fact. So many problems. So many deviation from the truth, the mega churches, right? Corrupt for money, just asking for money, right? You're just telling me about that group. The pastor is just asking for money every Lord's Day, and they're building such a big building. I'm glad that's all we have here. Praise the Lord. No big building. What do we need a big building for? Right? So, this is the majority of the Christian groups today. Sick. Sick. And this is exactly the description of Isaiah. And Isaiah said, unless the Lord would have left us a very small remnant, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Fallen and then waiting for judgment. We know Sodom and Gomorrah were so corrupt and fallen, and then they were destroyed by God. So today we need to change, and don't say, oh, look at this, we are just a few. Right? Can somebody tell you that? If you are right, how come there are just a few? Right? Look at us there, right? We have hundreds, I don't know, maybe 1,000. And look at our meeting hall. You don't even have one. Right? And so few people. You're right? Well, what would you say? What would you say? Well, just look at the Lord Jesus. when he was on this earth, how many? Only 12 really true followers, only 12. You think he's right? And Judaism is wrong, they have the whole nation following them. Right? And where does he meet? He likes to go to the house of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And he likes to meet there. How many people are there? Do you think they have a palace there? I don't think so. They must have a little room there. So where would you prefer to go? With that little tiny little group there? Or you like to go to that big established Judaism, you tell me. Where would you prefer? This is according to human judgment and assessment. Therefore, big numbers, therefore, nice meeting hall, therefore, so many other things. Money and money and more money. You take away their money, they will close shop. Right? So, we have to realize that today, the situation of God's people is not any different. Sorry. Right? And we need to turn to the Lord. I don't care for the numbers. If I care for the numbers, I wouldn't be here today. Right? So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are for God's plan and purpose, not in doctrine, but in reality.
Amen.
In reality. And Isaiah tells us only a very small remnant. Not just small, not just a remnant. You know, when I read that verse, I told the Lord, a remnant already means very small and very few. And then you said, a small remnant, that's smaller than a remnant. And then you said, a very small remnant. I said, oh my goodness. A very small remnant. Remnant is already small. Then he used small remnant, is smaller than small. And very small. At the end, nothing left. At the very end, nothing left. And sure enough, in John chapter 6, how many were left? 12 were left. Everybody left him. Only 12 remained, and one is Judah. So only 11. That's a very small remnant. A very small remnant. Well, so don't be discouraged. Okay, are you discouraged because you're just a few? Better not be, right? You should say, praise the Lord, we are very scriptural. We must be doing something right, that's why we are very small. Right. But unfortunately, we know the people of Israel did not repent. They don't want to repent. And a lot of people, they don't want to repent. You tell them, you can tell them every week, every day, no, it's not. You cannot be right. So the Roman Catholicism must be correct. Because they have over several millions, right? Yeah. So, now let's really come to the second part of Isaiah, the judgment. The judgment. Because there is no other way. Don't think God likes to judge you. No. He's a savior. But if we refuse to let him work on us, then he has no choice but to judge us. So, you decide what you want to do. But even today, the Lord will have to discipline us. I really, looking back in many years of my life, I appreciate the Lord's disciplining. Because I need it. You just don't know how fallen our flesh is. Our flesh is really fallen, and our self there, the soul life. No wonder the Lord says, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Not that easy. And the Day of Atonement, what do you have to do? Not only to deny, but afflict your soul. You're willing to do that? Not that easy. Not that easy. So the Lord needs to work on us. I would say, without his discipline, like what Hebrews says, I'm going to remind you again in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. That is the only way, actually. Yep. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5. Yeah? Because in chapter 12 is talking about sufferings and going through difficulties, going through persecution. Of course, it's not their fault, right, going through persecution. It's not always their fault. But hey, don't tell me they're faultless. Right? Definitely there is hidden things in our heart that we do not know. Right? But anyway, verse 3 says, for consider him, Christ, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So our souls easily become very discouraged. Yeah. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Meaning to say, to martyrdom, bloodshed, to be killed, to be slain. And you already have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. So as long as you think you are a son of God, our Heavenly Father will definitely perfect you by chastening you. Right. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You like to be chastened, to be rebuked, especially if you think you're right and a brother rebuked you. What are you going to do? You're going to defend yourself, right? You are wrong. I'm right. Right?
I defend my right.
I defend my right. Don't you know about human rights today? Oh, my goodness. Right? Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Right? You like to be rebuked? Of course I like to be rebuked if I'm wrong.
Yes.
But what if I'm right? Ah, sister, yeah, I fully agree with you, because I have the same concept. I don't think so. I don't want to be rebuked if I didn't do anything wrong, right? I think this is very natural, but not according to our Heavenly Father here. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. You think there's nothing in you that needs to be chastened by the Lord? Huh? How about you? I need to be chastened by the Lord even today. As long as I'm still living in this tent, I need to be chastened. And don't think I need to be chastened because I did something wrong. No, even if I did not do anything wrong, but that wrong thing is still in my heart. Right? And scourges every son whom he receives. Wow. How about that? Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah. Right? So, scourges every son whom he receives. Well, you know, actually this is judgment. This is judgment. This is what it says here. This is judgment. But judgment for us is chastening today and scourging. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. Praise God. We often misunderstood. If somebody or my wife says something to me and I think she was wrong, I'll react. But I did not realize my God is using my wife to chasten me. And vice versa. And vice versa. Right? Really true. We don't realize this. You don't like to be chastened, right? Not even to be criticized. If your children, your wife criticize you, what do you do? Oh, you exploded and hit the rooftop. But we do not realize it is God chastening us. And we need it because He loves you. If God does not chasten you, that means He doesn't care for you. He doesn't love you. I praise God for every chastening I went through, which at that moment of chastisement, I may not even agree. Why? I always like to ask why. Why me? Why does it have to happen to me? Right? Why? Because I need it. Because the Father in heaven knows and knew that I needed those chastisement. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Yeah. Right. Otherwise you'll be a spoiled brat. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, all, okay? That means none of us are exception. Then you are illegitimate and not sons. King James used the word illegitimate. But it says bastards. You're bastards. Bastards. That means My mother used to joke with me in the past. Oh, we found you in the trash can. I said, oh, no. They found me in the trash can. I was a bastard. You know, in the flesh, we are like a bastard. God has found us in the trash can. Somebody threw me away and I landed in the trash can and my parents found me and brought me out. This is what happened to all of us. We were born in the flesh. But the Lord, by His mercy, saved us. Took me out of the trash garbage can. Ready to be burned, right? But the Lord saved us. Now, after being saved, don't think the Lord does not have to do any work in you and in me. He still needs to perfect us. Remember, He wants to make you into a king. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? You want to live? Oh yeah, I want to live. I have the Spirit in me. Now I'm alive. Right? And it's written, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Well, that's just the beginning. But you want to continue to live and to grow in this life without chastening? No. For they indeed for a few days chasten us as it seems best to them. But this one, the Heavenly Father, for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness, His divine nature. To be holy. Right. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Well, I think we all experience that. You like to be chastened? It's painful. It's painful. But believe me, this pain is not unto death. This pain is unto life. Do not despise it. Do not judge others, but pray for one another, knowing that that pain is for life, not for death.
Amen.
Really, we need to know this. Right? Otherwise, oh, we'll think, oh, he must have done something wrong. Eh? That's why it happens to you. Then I become a judge to judge you. Little did I know that the Father has something greater to perfect you and me. Right. I've gone through it a lot. That's why I understand the Father's chastening. Really. Right? So here it says, afterwards, nevertheless, even if it's painful, nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the way God would like to train you, not to teach you how to preach and know every doctrine and then be a good preacher. Well, I'll give conference and at the end they are so corrupt and thinking they are somebody, and then they're proud and they want to rule over everybody. My goodness. Right? No. What we need is the chastening of the Lord here. And this is judgment. Why I'm talking about this? Because for us, this is judgment. But not judgment unto death, but judgment unto life. To train us, to chasten us. Right? Therefore, amen, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight the path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed.
Amen.
Judgment for me today, when God judged me, it is for my healing. Right? How about that? You want to be healed?
Amen.
Without judgment? I like the Chinese medicine, because once you take it, it's so bitter. Nobody likes to. And then when you drink, it feels like it's making you more sick. What kind of a doctor are you? You're killing me. But no, he's healing me. He's healing me. Right? But today, nobody likes to suffer. That's why they make pills. But it may not be as effective. And then a lot of side effects. Too much chemicals, the manipulation. Amen. Then it says, praise the Lord, pursue peace with all and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Amen. And looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord preserve us.
Amen.
All of us.
Amen.
Hey, if I'm going through it right now, don't think that, oh, John must have done something wrong. Who knows, maybe next time it's your turn. And the next time, it is John Yao's turn. Right? Because hey, we are in different situations, and the Lord is so wise, full of wisdom, and use every situation to chasten us.
Amen.
To heal us. To save us. So, on one hand, judgment is terrible. On the other hand, judgment is, praise the Lord, necessary. I wouldn't say glorious, because the Bible says it's painful. Nobody's happy when it goes through, right? But we have to really praise God. For those who see what's going on, I really have to praise the Lord today. Thank you, Lord, for your chastisement. I needed it, Lord. Yeah, really. That's why I treasure it. Right? That is why I intercede for the saints going through sufferings. Because I know it is necessary. And this is the, I won't use the word appetizer, but this is the pre-cost. That means, right, when you go to a restaurant, you order firstly, they call it appetizer, right? How do they say it in French? I forgot. But anyway, it is necessary to, right, open up our stomach ready for the main course. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Yep, let's have some prayers.